Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off. It's better over
here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
It's time for Pitch Hit and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Give the kids in your community a chance to flex their superpowers, and they could earn a trip to the national finals of the 2025 World Series presented by Capital One. So go ahead, be the one who powers their dreams, and sign up to host the local Pitch Hit and Run event. It's a free and fun way to promote baseball, softball, and your organization. To learn more, go to pitchhitrun.com.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrecht and Tommy Kester.
Welcome in, everybody. It is Sports Daily here on KFH. Tommy Kester, along with Jacob Albrecht on a Wednesday edition of the program. Glad to be here with you this morning. The IHOP hotline is open at 869-1240 for you to join the program today as we roll along. A lot going on today. Of course, off the top, we'll get into what's happening with the Kansas City Royals. Game one of the wild card round in the books as the Royals take a 1-0 lead in the wild card round. We've got that. We've got our KU insider Shreyas Lotta joining us at 9:30 this morning to talk about the debacle that is KU football. That will be coming up a little bit later on in the program. And head coach for Wichita State men's basketball, Paul Mills, joins us at 10 a.m. So a lot to get to on the program today. Jacob, good morning, my friend.
Hey, Tommy. Can you hear me?
I can't. We got you.
Okay. All right. I don't know what's going on there. Here's what I think is going on. We get into this. It's a great Wednesday. We're getting ready. Tommy saw my beautiful Hawaiian shirt and panicked because he forgot to wear his on this Hawaiian shirt Wednesday, so he muted my microphone.
Well, I saw you and I thought, we've got to make a change here. I'm going to go ahead and commandeer the show. You know, that's kind of what ended up happening.
Yeah, there is a movement happening called Hawaiian Shirt Wednesdays. There's nothing better. I went out for, got the kids to school, went out for the morning walk. It was a little brisk today. Nothing better than to trick the weather trying to get cold on us, than to throw on your best Hawaiian and party with us on Sports Daily. It is a big show. It is party time. Royals are up 1-0 in a series in the wild card round. Man, how good is it to have playoff baseball back? Royals fans, how good is this? Doesn't that feel good? Now, it would feel tragic if it was the other way and you'd be panicking, and I get it, but that is the beauty of postseason baseball. This is a blast. That was intense baseball yesterday. I don't know what else to say other than buckle up, and maybe they can get it wrapped up today. Maybe they go to a game three. I don't know, but this is what it's all about. And we will talk about a lot of things today, Tommy, but we will start with the Royals, and we will be on this Royals train for as long as it will take us. It flashbacks to a decade ago when this time of year was dominated by postseason baseball. It's every day, just about. It's the best. It's the best, and the Royals are right in the mix of it. A game one win. That was awesome yesterday.
It really was. And one of those games that you go through from start to finish. And first off, it went extremely quick. I mean, any time you've got a 1-0 game, it's going to go fast, even in a playoff setting. So it was quick from first pitch to the end of the game. But it really highlighted the strengths of this Royals ball club. It really, I think, kind of showcased what Kansas City has done well all season long. And it's primarily starting pitching. It's primarily Cole Reagans. But it's a bullpen that, and I know that this has been a topic of conversation for quite a while about whether or not we will continue to see the Royals bullpen that ended the regular season, or if they would revert back to the same old Kansas City bullpen that has struggled off and on throughout the course of the year. Well, at least in game one of the wild card round, they continued on that dominant stretch. It took several pitchers to get it done against Baltimore, but ultimately they got it done. The offense really, didn't really do a whole lot. But I think that's to be expected to an extent, taking on Corbin Burns. So all in all, it was about, really kind of like what has become standard quality Royals baseball.
It was perfect because they win 1-0. It could have been the other way. But yeah, you got three clean out of the bullpen. Not only that, you got three clean out of the bullpen when the bullpen was not expecting to be needed at that point. Right? Reagans had to leave the start at only 80 pitches when he was grooving. There's no chance they would have taken him out had he not had his cramps. And hopefully that's not a long-term concern. But they were good. And it went just the way you wanted it to go, ending with Bubich and Ursig, and Ursig showed his versatility, able to come in and give you more than one inning. And that's one of his greatest assets. His pitches, he looked filthy to me yesterday, at least to my eye, a lot of movement, a lot of those things. Offensively, one run is not good, but you, in a curious decision to put Massey at the top of the lineup, he did get on base to start the game. Bobby Witt Jr., of course, had the clutch hit. Vinny Pasquantino got on base. He had a walk. Perez, Gurriel, almost everybody got on base somehow in the game. So I do like that. And you hope that it was a Burns thing and that they can bounce back. Now, they'll go up against another good starting pitcher tonight. So, that's the other thing, too. It's a Burns thing, but Tommy, probably, when you get to this point of the season and you've reached this point, everybody's got some pretty good starting pitching. Zach Eflin's a good starting pitcher. So you're not going to get many opportunities to go up against a dud pitcher when you're playing in the postseason. So I liked that they were aggressive on the base paths. I know that worked once for them and not the other time. I saw two. I was on set during a lot of the game watching it on a screen about the size of an index card. But I like them being aggressive on the bases. I think that's something they'll need to do. And I think that's something that benefits teams in the postseason oftentimes. It benefited the Royals when they won their World Series and went to two in a row. They ran all the time and played kind of old school baseball. I do think this team is capable of that. And so we see now. The good news is, you won the game. Like, who cares? You're also to that point of the season, Tommy, where it's like, I don't care how they won it. They won it. And now they've got Baltimore facing an elimination game here.
Yeah. And look, I think that really you mentioned the starting pitching in general being, a solid indicator of a team making the playoffs, being a quality team that could make a run. And that really, I think, really showed off in a majority of these game ones that we saw yesterday, not just, in the Royals game, but like Tarek Skubal, showed why he is an ace because of what he was able to do for Detroit against Houston on the road in Houston, by the way, showed that yesterday. I think the fact that the Braves didn't have any of their aces available in game one. That reared its ugly head for Atlanta last night against San Diego. So I do think that there is some legitimacy to that claim that, you know, not only does starting pitching get you into the postseason, if you've got good quality multiple, you know, players, multiple pitchers that can get you to that point, but it also shows up big time when you're starting off a series, especially in a best of three. And this is something that, from a wild card round perspective, there are certainly teams that I think that are in the postseason right now that are built more for a best of five or even a best of seven type series.
The Orioles
for sure. The Royals are built for a best of three. They really are, because they're so top heavy, especially when you're talking about Reagans and Lugo. Doesn't take anything away from the other starters. And I know that in a potential game three, if the Royals lose today, they'll send Waka out there, and Waka has been pretty good this year, but they're top heavy with Reagans and Lugo. They've got two aces in the same way that the Orioles have Burns and Eflin, and the Phillies have Wheeler and Nola. You've got top tier pitchers at the top of these rotations that are built for series like this.
And then you've got teams and they lost games, like the Braves, like the Brewers, really pretty much everybody who lost games yesterday, who are built for stretched out series, but they have to get there. And, you know, standing in the way right now, the Orioles is a Royals team playing with house money, feeling good about the way they're playing. They even despite the fact that they are still slumping offensively, I mean, let's be real about it. They are. If that turns the corner in the postseason, and it totally could, right? Because we've seen it all year, right? It turns a corner and then they go white hot. If that turns a corner in the postseason, look out, look out. They can get through this series. If they can crawl through this series and at some point ignite some of these bigger bats, right? Having Benny Pasquantino is certainly going to help. Then look out, because they become as dangerous as any team in this postseason if that happens. If you tell me that, if I'm the opposition and I know what the Royals starting pitching can do, right? I know how the back end of the bullpen has looked for a while. If you told me and I was the opposition that Vinny Pasquantino, Perez, and Witt can find their groove collectively, I'm pretty scared. I'm pretty nervous, because that makes the Royals the most dangerous. Now, who knows if that'll happen offensively? I'm not sure. But at least they can be clutch, right? At least they can do those little things. Let's look ahead to tonight's game. Zach Eflin takes the mound when we return. Of course, you'll hear the game right here on KFH on the Odyssey app. Pregame coverage begins at 3 o'clock. So we will have that for you. We're going to come back. More Royals talk. That IHOP hotline's open, 869-1240. It's brought to you by IHOP. Celebrate the weekdays with new IHOP House Faves, all your favorites for just $6 Monday through Friday. Don't go away. Royals playoff edition of Sports Daily continues. Back in, everybody. Sports Daily here on KFH. Jacob Albrock, Tommy Caster with you on a Hawaiian Shirt Wednesday, where some of us are celebrating and some of us are choosing to be fun haters. You can guess who, or you can look at our video stream and you can quickly find out.
I got to be professional today, my friend. Like, I've got a job to do once we get done.
So do I. I have like four jobs to do.
Yeah, but like you are in the comfort of your own home where you can just go and change your clothes.
Tommy, this is our safe space to be unprofessional. This outlet, that's why we both do this.
You are
right?
Sitting in a windowless, darkened room in your home right
Correct.
Now where, like you might be broadcasting to the world from there, but you don't have to like walk out and go right into like
that's
a
correct.
Coworker's meeting or something like that. Like I'm in our studio, like I'm in the studio at work in the Odyssey offices right now. Like,
that's correct.
I can't just go and change my clothes. I mean, I could, but I'm not going to. That's a big hassle. A lot of work.
Paul Savage doesn't have any problem walking around the Odyssey studios with Paul's best Hawaiian shirt.
Paul Savage is a unique individual, like 365 days a year. So, like, that doesn't surprise me whatsoever.
Some might call him a style aficionado. Some might. Right now, you don't even know if I'm wearing pants. How about that?
I don't want to know.
And we're going to keep that a mystery, by the way. But it is a Hawaiian Shirt Wednesday. This is our safe space to party. And we're partying right now because we've got playoff baseball. We've got Royals playoff baseball, which we haven't had in a very long time. I love this. I said this yesterday. And people that listen to this show know I'm a Texas Rangers fan. I had my party last year. Tommy's an Atlanta Braves fan. He's had plenty of parties over the years. I have missed this greatly, both professionally, because it's obscenely more fun to do this for a living when you have a good baseball team to follow. But for the fans, man, because we have both had that experience lately of postseason baseball. And there's, in my opinion, I don't think there's anything better. There are things as good, but the reason I say that, March Madness is going to be awesome no matter what. Whether your team is still alive or not, March Madness is awesome. It's more awesome if your team's alive, right? The NFL playoffs, awesome no matter what. Super Bowl, awesome no matter what. College football playoffs, fine. We'll learn and see how much better it gets if your team's involved, because more of them will be now. But to me, baseball, like, the postseason's good if you're a baseball fan, but I don't know that I would call it awesome if your team's not alive. The difference between having a team still in it and not in baseball, to me, is the most stark of the sports things that we love. So I love the baseball postseason if I have a team in it more than anything. You also get it every day, potentially for a month. It's fantastic. It just gives and gives and gives and takes away, and it's stressful and dramatic and fun. So I love this for Royals fans. It's been way too long since Royals fans have been able to experience this. It's been a problem for that franchise, quite frankly. It's been a failure for that franchise, quite frankly, but not anymore. Who cares, right? Because right now they're in it. And they're up 1-0 in a 3-game series against Baltimore.
I'm probably a little biased because I'm just a baseball fan in general. And so, you know, I'll lock in if I can, if I'm available, I'll lock into the baseball playoffs, regardless if my team is in it or not. Now, I think part of the difference is that, like, with the NFL playoffs, you're not getting an NFL playoff game on a Tuesday afternoon at 1 o'clock or 3 o'clock. Like, that's not the way that it goes. You're getting those playoff games in the evening and on the weekends. So it's a little bit easier to lock in because of that, where it's difficult now with Major League Baseball because, like, the Royals play all three of these games in the wild card round, assuming that it goes to three games. Hope it doesn't. But if it does, all three of those games in the afternoon on weekdays. That makes it a little bit more difficult for people to lock in, I think.
But to me, it makes it more fun to, like, sneak around the office.
Sure, it's like March Madness.
I hope our bosses aren't listening right now. But yeah, like, sneaking around at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. I mean, I don't know. And I'm probably not in the majority on that, by the way. I think Royals fans would probably agree with me right now that it's the best, but we're living in the moment here, and in the moment the Royals are up 1-0. So today it's game two. This time it's a 3:38 start, so a little bit different, by the way. And you'll hear it here with us on KFH, home of the Royals. It's Lugo, it's Eflin. The Royals are favorites. The Orioles are favorites in this game, and they are pretty big favorites in this game. The Astros are the only bigger favorite today than the Orioles. Take that for what it's worth. I'll be betting the Royals money line again, but which paid yesterday, by the way. Lugo, Eflin, I think you like it if you're Royals fans. I'll tell you what I like even more is that they've got a little bit of cushion here with this one, Tommy, and that their back's not against the wall in this exact same scenario, because Lugo has not been quite as good as Reagan's down the stretch here. He's still been good. He's still been fine. His last full start was good. He has pitched, I believe, against Baltimore this year. He did. He went, he did not have a good start in April against Baltimore. And I want to say that was the only time he caught them this year. It is. So I don't think you take anything away from April, although it was just like his lone bad start there. I don't know if that means anything. It was his only bad start in his first, like, 15 was against Baltimore. So keep that in mind. But to my original point, I'm very, very grateful for the Royals' sake that this is not an elimination game on their side.
Yeah, and I think that Vegas, when they're setting these lines for game twos, a lot of it is they're baking in some desperation from the teams that do have their backs up against the wall. I mean, take a look at Houston, for example. Like you mentioned, they're the biggest favorite of the entire day, primarily because, like, the thought of the Astros, that have had so much experience in the postseason over the last decade, at home in a wild card round facing elimination, you know, the conventional wisdom is that they'll find a way to fight that off and force a game three. That I think that's another, you know, reason why the Orioles are favored the way that they are in this particular game. Also, Seth Lugo, while really good this year, it wasn't quite as great in the second half of the season. Like, it was still good. It was more up and down in the second half of the year for Kansas City. So I think that's baked in a little bit too when this line is being set. There's a point that I want to bring up about Kansas City in this round that I kept thinking about as I watched the last out of the eighth inning and then all of the ninth inning. And that was when Lucas Ercig was on the mound. Not only do the Royals not win that game without Lucas Ercig on the mound, but the Royals aren't in the playoffs without Lucas Ercig.
Oh, no question.
There's no other way around that. And, like,
no.
There is not a more impactful acquisition that J.J. Piccolo made. And there may not be a more impactful acquisition in baseball this year than Lucas Ercig being traded from the Athletics to the Royals at the trade deadline. And I know that there are, and I haven't looked it up, but I know that there are stats out there that will track, like, wins above replacement and things like that, or, like, what the expected win total for the Royals was before Ercig came in to now. I haven't, like, researched that and looked that up. But you cannot overstate the importance of Ercig on the mound for this team.
And in a credit to him, he wasn't even expected to be this.
Right.
Right? Harvey was supposed to be this. Harvey's who they traded a ton to get, and he's been hurt. Ercig was just extra cannon fire. I think it was Dallas Braden. I don't remember who it was. It was one of the longtime A's who's kind of connected to that clubhouse. When they made that trade, they were just like, I'm so excited for him. He's going to thrive in this. And I'm like, okay. And then you see his stuff, and I'm like, God, like, everything's moving. Yeah, no, you're exactly right about him. They're not there without him, and they're not going to get anywhere in the postseason without him either, by the way. Like, he's going to be a big part of whatever they do one way or the other. His role will be microscoped heavily. Seth Lugo's been much better since August 30th. He's had one start in which he gave up more than two runs, one, and it was four. It was against the Tigers, too. But he's, you know, he's done a really nice job. I'm going to give you this before we go to break. Listen to these teams that Lugo has fared well against since August 30th. At the Astros, the Guardians, at the Yankees, at the Braves, and then the Giants. And then his start against Detroit was not good. So he's pitched well against good teams lately. I'm optimistic today. I'm sure glad the Royals are up 1-0, though, at the same time. And I love their chances in a game three if it gets to that point. Let's hope that it doesn't. We'll have more on the Royals coming up a little later. When we return, we'll talk a little about KU football with our KU insider, Shreya Slada. I don't even know how to frame that up, but we'll go through the latest. Is there anything to salvage here? I am so curious to hear what things are like in Lawrence from his perspective right now. We'll do that next on Sports Daily.
.75 and 1240 KFH.
Back in, everybody. Mornings at KFH. Staff enjoys a great cup of coffee from Prairie Fire Coffee. Appreciate them for fueling us up here on Sports Daily. We welcome in our KU insider, Jacob Albrock and Tommy Castor here, joined now by Shreya Slada, beat reporter for the KC Star on KU football, KU basketball. And Shreyas, our greatest fears have come to life. It is October as we turn the calendar to October. And KU football is sliding slowly back into irrelevancy. And I don't mean that it should be necessarily, but I'm afraid that it will if they don't figure out a way to win a game. How are you this morning?
Good. what an intro. But I think it's kind of, I think we talked about it last week. It's go time for KU football. I mean, it's been go time for like 4 weeks now, but four straight losses, tough loss, three of those losses they probably could have won if they had limited turnovers and stuff like that. And I was texting Carter Stanley about this yesterday, and he's like, looking at the schedule, I thought coming into the year, he was telling me, I thought they'd have maybe two losses in the first five games. And he said, I'd be disappointed with the fact they'd have two losses, but they still, I think, I didn't expect them to be, we'd be talking about them having lost four straight. And I think that's where I'm at. I think, if I looked at that schedule and I said, hey, before the season, I think KU's going to lose maybe one of these five games, pick whatever you want. I don't know which one. And I felt like I would have come out on top of that, prediction probably 70% of the time. Right now, we're looking at a KU team that hasn't won in almost a month. I think it's been a month. Is it been a month? Yeah. It feels like things are tense. That's the word I'd use around KU football right now. Tense.
Sharice, anybody who knows me knows that I'm a KU football fan. I have been for a long time. I followed this team for a long time. Try to get up to as many games as I can each year with my family. I've been to, I think, all but one of the home games so far this year, but I've obviously watched all of them. And the one thing that I came on this show on Monday and talked about was that this was the first time this season that I felt like Kansas was not the better team on the field against TCU. In every other game, it had been, they were the better team. They were the better team against West Virginia. In all of the non-conference games, they were the better team. They just couldn't find a way to pull out the victory. TCU was flat out a better team than Kansas was. They looked more prepared. They looked more athletic. They looked more effective and efficient. All of those different things. I mean, it definitely, they outclassed the Jayhawks on Saturday. And to me, I think that's the most disappointing thing.
No, I completely agree. I think this was the first game that I felt like, hey, they don't really have a chance to win. The momentum changer felt like that punt return for a touchdown. I mean, good football teams don't give up 89-yard punt returns for touchdowns. Good football teams don't, lose because of a potential block in the back. I think it's one of those things that everything is compounding. I just don't understand how bad this KU team is, because you had most of this team from last year return. You have guys, if I think KU is bad right now, what's next year going to look like when 15, 16 of these guys are gone and 30 guys really are graduating, 15, 16 starters are gone. This was the year I think KU football was supposed to come out there and shock the world and make a Big 12 title run. And right now, and I wrote about it after the game, it's now like, can you even win a bowl game? Can you get to a point where you're going to get to be in a bowl game? Because they're entering really dangerous territory. If they don't win Saturday, you have now put yourself in a situation where you're going to the bye week 1-5. 1-5. And Houston is the only winnable game that I can certainly say that I think they'll win. But also, who knows? I think it's become a spiral, right? Like, it's clear that until you win the game, I can't sit there and definitively say they're going to win any game. And once they win a game, then I can sit there and evaluate this team. But, I think it's a compounding issue. This was the first game, like you said, that they really weren't in it for most of it. I mean, they hung around a little bit, but I thought TCU was the really better team.
I agree. And the problem with the schedule is now Iowa State's better than we thought. BYU's better than we thought. Colorado's better than we thought. So what at one point looked like a advantageous schedule, they've started the advantageous part of it with two losses. I'm concerned about the bowl game thing too. Here's the bigger, more pressing concern, Tree, is what in the hell has happened to the defense? Because Jalen Daniels is not an accurate passer right now. The fit with Grimes isn't a good fit. Like, it's just not. But that's not going to change, right? There was still hope, though, that this could be a good defensive team that could run the ball, but they can't run the...
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with autopay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without autopay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
The ball if they can't play defense, and for the last 2 weeks they have not play defense.
Yeah, I think the reality of the situation is the numbers, like against West Virginia, where they got to the passer, were misleading. Three sacks don't really mean that much in the reality when you're not pressuring the quarterback outside of those three plays. I think they had two QB pressures this past week. I think they sacked the quarterback once or twice the entire game, and they didn't really do anything to really make his life difficult. Josh Hoover was sitting in the pocket, just waiting for his going through his progressions, reading the field, and dart. You know, another 20-yard bomb right there, 15-yard bomb there. I've never seen a quarterback disseminate the KU secondary as well as Josh Hoover did on Saturday since I've been on the beat. I've been on the beat since that Liberty Bowl. So I guess maybe that came, but I don't think the secondary was as good in the December 2022 or whatever as it is now. And let's call it like he is. Kobe Bryant, Melo Dotson, guys who were supposed to be Big 12 All-American type level players, have not been as good as they can be. They haven't gotten enough turnovers. I mean, Melo's done a good job of it this year, I think, with three turnovers. But I feel like the burntness, they're getting burnt on routes a lot more. They're missing some tackles. There was a point where I think Melo didn't properly tackle, and it was behind the sticks, and it turned into a 30-20-yard game, something like that. And that was just the kind of the evolution of what this secondary has become. Is like, you know, I know the pressure is on them because the defense cannot get to the quarterback, so there's a lot of pressure on the secondary. But you know, this was supposed to be the one part that you don't worry about. This KU football team is the secondary. You know, it's kind of like you have OJ Burrows, you have Melo Dotson, you have the Dye brothers, you have Kobe Bryant. These guys are all older guys. These are guys who you should expect to be the strong part of your team no matter what happens with the offense or the rest of the defense. And I think it's a two-pound problem in the sense that they can't get to the quarterbacks, so the secondary is out there on the field trying to make something happen. They go for more risks. They get burnt a little bit. It's just become an issue where if they can't get to the quarterback, then you're putting a lot of pressure on the secondary. And if the secondary does that, then they're going to make a lot of more mistakes. And it's clear if you have a quarterback that can pass, like TCU did, they're going to have a good day against Kansas if they can't get to you.
Sharice, I have taken quite a bit of heat on this show because I think that there's a perception that I'm a Jalen Daniels defender. And I am to an extent, because I don't believe that this is solely on his shoulders at all. Has he regressed from before? Absolutely, he has. His mechanics and his arm strength and decision making and all of that, absolutely not where it had been in the past. And that's real and true. But I also think that he has not gotten any help at all from the sidelines. He has not gotten help at all from his receivers outside of Luke Grimm. You talk about the upperclassmen on the defense and the secondary that haven't played up to standards. I could say the same thing about guys like Lawrence Arnold and Quentin Skinner that have dropped passes left and right when that's not what they do and that's not what is expected of them. So I don't put it on solely on the shoulders of Jalen Daniels because he hasn't gotten any help at all. But it is, I'm not going to mince words here, mind-numbingly infuriating the play calling from this team, because I saw it so many times on Saturday against TCU on first downs when they were calling insanely difficult plays to complete, whether you're talking about like deep shots or just fly routes or whatever, really low percentage completion percentage plays on first down, which then when they didn't work, obviously it's dropping Jalen Daniels' completion percentage down to the lowest he's ever had at KU. But it also is putting the offense with their backs up against the wall on second down and third down. And all of that knowing that they've got a really effective running game with Devin Neal and Daniel Hyshaw that they're not leaning on, and with an offensive line that can absolutely run block for them. And I know that's a long words to get to this point, but do you feel that too, like with the play calling, where it's just like you're scratching your head, like what in the world are they doing?
I definitely think the play calling is an issue. I definitely think Jalen Daniels is an issue. I definitely think the wide receivers are an issue. Lawrence Arnold and Quintus Skinner are having probably the worst years you can probably ask for from fifth-year guys in the entire country. These guys were regressed. I don't know what's going on. They're not catching the ball. But I think, and I will say this wholeheartedly, Jalen Daniels right now is playing like he's not confident in his own abilities. If you saw the third and fourth downs where he needed to get something, why are you passing 5 yards below the stick and hoping your receiver makes something out of nothing? That to me tells me a quarterback who's not even sure he believes in either himself, the offensive line, or the receivers. I don't know. I think it is something that we have to sit there and say the play calling is an issue. Jalen Daniels might be a bigger issue. The wide receivers have not done many favors. The tight ends are not as good as last year. Mason Fairchild, I mean, Jared Casey and Trevor Cardell, let's call it like it is. They haven't had a good game until this past Saturday. Mm-hmm. You know, like this was the first game where I was like, okay, nice job, Jared Casey. Nice job, Trevor Cardell. You did something on the field where you can quantifiably see besides run blocking. And I think it's lead them to be so one-dimensional on offense because now teams are stacking the box and daring Jalen Daniels to throw. And it's put so much pressure on him because he can't be whatever is going on with him, whether it's an offensive, play calling issue or it's a regression issue or he just wasn't as good as what we thought he once was. And those 7-8 games were just a magical run. I don't know. Like there's probably a mix of everything. But now, and I ask myself this is why isn't Jalen Daniels being talked about? Being put on the bench. Lance was asked about this at the press conference. I don't know if you guys watched that.
I didn't see
it. I wrote about it.
He was the unhappy.
Most tense press conference I've ever been a part of in the Lance Leipold era since I've been here. He showed up late. It was defensive all around. And I don't think any of the questions were super out of line. I think Matt Tate asked a good question there at the end. I think he threw his hands up at one point. When asked about changes, and I will say this, and I've said this before, to other people in the KU beat is a relatively very positive beat compared to most beats in the country.
Yeah, it's a friendly.
I think we give Lance Leipold a lot of grace out there, and I think we gave him a good amount of grace even on this past Monday. It was a record setting. It lasted 7 minutes. He left in a hurry. It was just a weird, weird vibe around the entire press conference. And I don't know what's going on behind the scenes. I'm sure there's a lot of pressure on him from KU fans, from administration. You have a $250 million stadium, phase one they're trying to build. They haven't even raised quite $200 million yet. I know it's hard to ask for money from fans at that point. But it's just become, I don't know what the solution to the issue is. Like, there's something's got to change. And in my opinion, if this is the Saturday that Jalen Daniels throws another two picks or whatever, or below 200 yards, you have really got to think about either benching him or changing the play caller or doing something, because people are going to tune out. I don't think KU fans are going to show up in games if they lose on Saturday. And already, I think, you know, like, as I write about it, it's become really tough even on me to write about a team that is losing in this way and write about it in a way that's interesting to people for them to click in an article to read about it. Because right now everything's a hate click. Oh, I hate this. I hate what's going on. I don't know how much it's going to last. And I think fans are going to tune out, especially if they lose Saturday. I think it's imperative that they go out there and win. I think this is the closest thing to a must win at this point in the season. And I think just going back to it all, like, if they're not ready to bench Jalen Daniels, then why didn't you bring in a transfer quarterback this year? Does that mean you don't trust Cole Ballard? Or if you do trust Cole Ballard, why don't you sit there and see what he has? Because you're not going to win football games with Jalen Daniels playing the way he's playing. He's just not good enough to this thing. You can say he's progressed in the last two games, but if progression is not throwing two interceptions, but sub 200 passing yards and 15 to 34 passing, keep that. I don't think that's going to win any football games in the Big 12, besides maybe Houston.
Yeah, it's not, it's even, and it's all about replacement value with Daniels, but your point is good. If the replacement value isn't there, then that's an issue that you didn't have better replacement value. I agree with that. But I'm afraid this is the first time that Lance Leipold has been under any pressure at all. He's been coaching with house money his entire KU career, right? Like, this is it. This is the first time they've had any expectations. Really? So, like, that's not good to see either, because you can't get frustrated and just keep running the same thing out there over and over. It's not working. Something must change. Now your defense isn't playing well. Now you're losing your ability to go win games, because I'm telling you, if their defense isn't good, they're not winning any games. They have to be able to run the football, and they can't when they're giving up this kind of yard, 507 yards to TCU. 507 yards. They were bad against the pass. They were bad against the run. And if they don't defend, they're not winning any games. So I don't know. This will be an interesting test. This is it. First adversity for Leipold. First time. I would you agree with that, Tommy? That he's never been under any pressure.
And I think that is a really good lead in to kind of a follow up that I would love to get Sharice's thoughts on. I have been a Leipold fan since day one. I thought that him coming in,
I still am,
and bringing him into KU was still a fantastic decision. We're five games into this season, and there are other programs that have already started making changes when they've not been happy with the expectations. Purdue fired Graham Harrell, their offensive coordinator, after the game this past weekend. There have been other teams that have already made changes with their play callers because they're not happy with the results. I know that you mentioned how tense the press conference was with Lance Leipold. It concerned me, considering that this is the first really big adversity that he's faced in this time at KU, and that was kind of the reaction. Like, that's concerning to me. But I think what's even more concerning is, at least as of right now, the reluctance or the resistance to adjust anything. And I know that you said that after, you know, if things don't go well this weekend, then you have to take a look at really making changes. But honestly, Sharice, I'm not convinced that Leipold's going to do that. He seems like kind of a stubborn guy, like he's not going to make those changes. And let's call a spade a spade. Jeff Grimes, that hire as offensive coordinator, has been absolutely terrible for Kansas through the first five games. Can it change? Maybe. I don't know. But I think that Lance Leipold is doing a disservice to this program if he doesn't at least put that option on the table to make a change there.
I think, you know, and I asked, you know, I was talking to Kevin Clarity about this yesterday. The reality of the situation is the Jeff Grimes hire has not been up to par of what they need, especially after you had let a guy like Andy Kotelnicki, you know, he goes to Penn State. Now he's setting records left and right, right? I think the reality of the situation is if Jalen Daniels has 5 turnovers instead of 10, I think we're sitting at a KU team that has 3 or 4 wins. So maybe they're not as good as everyone thought, but they're not far off from what everyone expected, right? And we wouldn't even be talking about Jeff Graham. So maybe people would be nitpicky or whatever. But, you know, you come out with wins in these games. How much are we really blaming Jeff Grimes? I think, in my opinion, if you're going to sit there and blame anybody, the most of it all is 100% the play of Jalen Daniels, I think. You can't win football games when you're turning the ball over at a historic rate. I wrote about this, you know, Leipold tried to – he alluded to the fact that the offense isn't that far off from last year. The only stats they're not that far off from last year are rushing stats. Every other stat, passing, yards per game, points per game, completion percentage, stuff like that, is significantly different. There's a, like, you know, they're top 10 in the nation in turnovers in a bad way. Okay. Like, they're 125th in the nation. Or this thing. They're averaging 2.3 turnovers a game. Last year, that was 1.3, which was, like, you know, middle of the pack. This year, it's in territory that you don't want to be in some of the worst teams in the nation territory. And I think people want to get a scapegoat. And I understand why Jeff Grimes is an easy scapegoat. But the reality of the situation is, as somebody who has defended Jalen Daniels in the past, who would sit there and say he is Kansas's best option, I don't think he's Kansas's best option on the field anymore. I just don't.
I'll use the comparison I've used before. At just the necessity to shake things up. Will Howard won a Big 12 title for K-State, and it was October when he started losing reps to Avery Johnson last year. Now, maybe Kansas doesn't have Avery Johnson behind Jalen. They don't. But Will Howard got the job back later in the year, right? Like, Avery Johnson didn't play at the end of the year. Just do something to shake things up. Anything. Like, right now, they're not doing anything. Well, obviously, they are, but it's not working. But just, like, give the roster something. Like, give the fans something. That's my issue. Shreyas, we've got you in bonus time. We appreciate it. Follow Shreyas's work. You can find him on X at SHRE98. Of course, all his works at the KC Star. Hoops, football beats. Hopefully, we get some optimism and can salvage this thing. I still think that their running backs give them a chance to win any game they play, but my goodness, you've got to be able to give them a chance in a game. Shreyas, thank you, and we'll look for your work this week ahead of the next game before the bye week.
Thanks for having me, guys.
There goes Shreyas Lotta. Tommy, I've been dreading this segment now for how many days has it been since Saturday? 4? There's heat. There's real heat there.
There is.
And I hate it. I hate it because this was the year. And what does next year look like?
Yeah, I can't tell you how many times over the last few days I've thought, has it been unfair to put the level of expectations on Kansas
absolutely
going into this season?
Not.
And I agree with you. As a Kansas fan, absolutely not. No way. Everything was trending towards massive success this year. Everything was.
You finally had a chance to have expectations.
Yep. And
right?
This is more, as a fan, a longtime fan, this is more frustrating than the years that they went 0-12 or 1-11 or what, like, far more
totally
frustrating, because nobody thought they would do anything at all. Like, nobody had any expectations whatsoever. It was just like, man, whatever, KU football, they suck, move on. This is really, like, makes me so angry and disgusted, because for the first time in 15 years, you finally have expectations and they've fallen off a cliff.
Apathy's always my greatest fear in sports, Tommy. Next year, look at the play. Like, what are they going to be next year? It's hard to imagine the roster will be more talented next year than it is this year. And they're 1-whatever. 869-1240. You can chime in. When we come back, we're going to go back-to-back guests for you here. Paul Mills, Wichita State head men's basketball coach, is going to join the program. They're back practicing. So much to cover there. Excited about this. Get you ready for a little Shocker Hoops. Coming up quicker than we think. That's next. That's how we start hour number 2 of Sports Daily.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in, trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.